Welcome to Youngstown Studio Show. We do recover.
Hey.
Today we have a special guest. We have Dawn from Yo Fresh. And we have Sarah V.
Sarah V.
Sarah V is that we're going with?
That's who you are.
Yeah. Welcome to the show today, guys. We're truly blessed and honored to have you guys on today. And of course, my lovely wife, co-host, Allison Hill.
Here I am.
So, I'm going to start off right off the rip. We're going to start with Dawn. Dawn, what's your story? Like, let's share a little bit about who you are.
Sure. I mean, we probably have to take a couple of weeks to have like some episodes.
Yeah, come on.
There's so much of it there. But again, real quick summary. Again, just an average guy from Youngstown, you know, grew up here pretty much my whole life. Misdiagnosed as a teen with dyslexia and ADHD and kind of an oddball anomaly is what I like to use, and never kind of fit in anywhere. Again, kind of grew up in a family of where drug and addiction, I guess, wasn't an issue. It was a thing. It was, you know, passing around different pills between aunts and uncles and cousins. So that was in my life. Again, I was a functioning addict, paid my bills. Everything was good. Lost my mom to a doctor prescribed overdose, fentanyl patch. Put it on Friday. Didn't wake up on a Saturday at noon. The actual like bourbon sirens are going off when I got the phone call. But that sent me on a year of a little bit deeper of addiction instead of awakening me right then and there. Through that, again, the realization of, for me, it was if somebody harmed my mother and did like, you know, murdered my mom, I think I'd forgive them, but I wouldn't want to hang out with them every day. But that's exactly what I was doing every single day. I was hanging out with the same person that took my mom away from me.
Yeah.
So that, again, sent me on a journey to a local church, Pastor Mark Kubrick in Portland Victory.
Yeah, come on, Pastor Mark.
Hey.
Pushed me to the right direction of Ohio Valley Teen Challenge.
Okay.
Went in, finished a year program, came out with not much, pretty much humbling, living in my dad's basement as a 40-year-old guy, right, and start my life over. They say people, places, and things, but I went back to the same kind of job environment, and it was a little rocky. Things kind of changed, and went off and met a new wife, started a new business idea with her. Got Yo Fresh. Again, now we got some time on our belt. We're interactive in the community. And again, it's all part of the process and the journey of going from, again, that brokenness to recovery. It's not a, you know, it's been 5 years for me, 6 years now, you know, so it's not a, you know, again, some people have that immediate, you know, healing and bang, they're good, they're set free. But sometimes it's a process. Like you said, it's not just one or two things along the way. And it's lots of books, surrounding myself with good, knowledgeable people.
Yeah.
And again, Holy Spirit all the way, you know, for me.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Nice.
So like, what, now I knew you went to Teen Challenge. What was your like rock bottom moment where it was like, I need help. Like I cannot help myself.
Yeah.
Like, and I know Pastor Mark and that, you got a Teen Challenge and that, but what was your like aha moment? Like where I can't do this anymore or I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah. Well, again, that was part of it. It was that constant background noise of like, you know, I was slowly killing myself and not really caring if I was or not. But the, again, the aha moment for me was that realization for me of what I was actually doing. I was calling the same person that took my mom out of the family and took her away from me to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And the realization, again, I have two daughters, 21 and 19, that I was going to end up doing the same thing to them and that generational curse would continue.
Yeah.
And that was part of me, the realization. And the actual rock bottom was about a $500 binge afternoon, you know, and with some at the time, some pain pills, you know, and
that was it.
It's like, again, like if that didn't do it right, if that didn't take the pain away at that point, like I should have been dead 12 times before this. But if this isn't doing it, then something's got to give, like you said, because I wasn't ready to cash out yet. You know, that thought was there 100 times, but like to say I was too coward to ever do that.
Yeah.
The thought would be there, you know, like, why can't I just end this? And I hope this might be the last time.
But
all part of the process.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Look at you now. I know you shared with me. You shared with me.
So many pieces.
Yeah, you shared with me a moment that you had where you were at the Covelli Center working with the Dalton Teen Challenge, helping clean up, and you had this moment of serenity, and you gave me the goosebumps the other day when you told me this. So go ahead and share with me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this might choke me up too. So again, this is how God's been doing it for me like this whole time. But I was in the kitchen in the Ohio Valley Teen Challenge, you know, again, cooking everything was my thing. Like, you cook, cool, go cook. So I never had to get out as much as some of the other guys that don't work details. So anytime there was a chance to get out of the house, I would jump on it.
Yeah.
And one of the things was going to the Covelli Center and sweeping up and mopping up after the monster trucks and all the mud and all the the great Disney on Ice with all the red slushy all over the floor and all the trampled popcorn and pretzels, right? And we'd clean that up. And again, this is a humbling part about the story because, you know, there was a time, and in that time, I'm guilty of, you know, we didn't have the luxuries of going to having money or going to concession stands. So if there was a half-eaten bag of popcorn on the ground, I'm dumping some of that out and I'm getting some popcorn.
Come on.
Right? I'm taking a big chunk of that pretzel off the floor and hoping eating that real quick, you know, to go from that moment. But in that time, I remember being in the Covelli Center and seeing local businesses. One of them offhand I know was Greenwood Chevrolet. And I was just like, Lord, I want a logo someday. I didn't say what it was. I didn't know for what. I didn't. I just said, Lord, I want a logo someday. Again, fast forward all that stuff, how we got this business started, blah, 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 blah. You know, 2 years in, a gentleman locally from Ice Energy Marketing, Steve Cross, kind of actually gifted us this package that included putting my logo on the ice in the Covelli Center for the Phantoms games.
Yeah, come on.
So God heard me.
Yes, yeah.
He acknowledged it. He gave it to me, and he put it on the ice in the building where I said I wanted one. And the gifting that this gentleman gave us was like something that we could have never done.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was a gift, you know.
Money do it, man.
And that's it. Because it's for his glory. Because I can sit here and say this. Mm-hmm. Because that's even the season what God wants to do. It's on the anomaly, right? It's the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Like, I don't have a culinary degree. I don't have a college degree. I'm dyslexic. I was a broken addict, a broken home, like, right? I'm the one yeah. of the 99.
That's right.
I'm the one of the 99. Right. You know, and to be able to sit here even in this, man, it's just all, this is why.
Yeah.
Because people need to hear, like, you're that one too.
Yeah.
You're that one. We're all that one.
Yeah.
It's just getting that, to hear it.
Yeah.
Right? Getting to that brokenness of the end of ourselves, that I can't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still get caught up trying to move pieces sometimes. And, you know, that's why I get tired at work. When I'm tired, I know I'm trying to do it again.
Trying to do it myself,
I, you know, it just kind of hands off sometimes.
Yeah. But
that's what's got me here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense to anybody outside. And that's why I could say, look what God has done. And that's why he's doing it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense to me. Every day I wake up and I laugh. Like the opportunities, some of the stuff we get to do. Again, local stuff. I had a basket with White House Fruit Farms, right? Inspiring Minds Youngstown. Urban Scholars. We've partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank and given back over 31,000 meals right here in the Valley. By buying 10 meals, we give 12 back. Like all this stuff God's been able to, and let me do, and feeding Alta Head Start kids, it's all part of it.
Yeah,
you know what I said? Everybody has a gift.
Yes.
And finding it and giving it to God, giving it back, right? The talents.
Yeah.
What did you do with it?
Yeah.
And the more I try to give out that he gives me, the more he'll pour back in so I can continue to give out.
Yep. Just talking about that living life, that open hand.
Yeah, it's the open
hand.
That's awesome. Because I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't do any of this.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Man, I appreciate you.
No, I love y'all, man.
Yeah. So listen, Sarah V, what's up with you, girl?
What's happening?
Yeah.
Now that we're all emotional and stuff over here, we're all like.
That's so good, man.
Yeah, that word right now.
There you go.
Seriously.
That's
Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
That's it. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So mine's a little bit different, but kind of the same. I was adopted at 3 days old and into the best family ever, like handpicked. Here you go. Here is the most amazing mother and father you'll ever have. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm a victim. You don't understand. Different. So I went to church. My dad's a Baptist minister. He actually works at the rescue mission currently, and he's worked there for a long time. And all of those people, I'm just going to give a shout out to them because all of those people loved me unconditionally, just like Jesus did all the time. And I put them through the ringer. You know how we do, right? So, my parents, man, they didn't know what to expect. But, like, I started drinking at 14 because it was fun. There was a boy there and it tried to control it next day. You know, like I loved it. That's where it was at for me. No idea that 20 years later, two kids later, two failed marriages, ruining everything, smoking crack, shooting heroin, eating out of garbage cans, destroying things, you know, and that still wasn't my bottom. It went on and on and on. And I thought just going to in and out of treatment was where it was at for me, You know what I mean? Like, I thought they loved when Sarah came to Tree Wade. Yeah. They were like, yes!
Yeah. Come on.
They were like, oh! You know, let me take her to the side. I'm not doing it.
And you know? The truth.
Yeah, I like, literally thought they loved it. And then, here I come.
Y'all know.
So delusional and stupid. But my family always told me about God. They like, we went to church. So that's what we did. That's what they did. And I hated it. And I just didn't think it worked for me because even back then, even before a drink or a drug, I needed some, I thought God was like my magic genie. Like, you're going to fix me now. Oh, you're not going to? I don't have no time for you. I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
And I found it in every single pill, every drink, everything I could smoke, shoot, anything, you know, and it wasn't it. It was for a short time. So, I mean, there's many things that could have been my bottom, although they weren't because I wasn't done digging. From just, you know, living in trap houses, living in homeless shelters, like a whole bunch of them. Getting kicked out of a homeless shelter, that's fun. We can't explain that one.
Right. Well. I was going to ask you how you get kicked out of a homeless shelter. It's
their fault. They shouldn't have been looking through my stuff and finding needles.
Right, right. Yep.
I literally thought that. Like, what?
How dare they?
How dare they? Don't they know who I am? But no, like brokenness. I didn't even know what my kids, like what grades they were in or what their little heads smelled like or what their favorite color was. And I wanted to, but I could not stop using no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And there's so much of them. And they are, my son will be 22 tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's a rising YouTube star.
There you go, Jules.
Jules. Getting it big time.
Yeah.
Juju Berry. I had to give him a shout out. I'm sorry. Yeah. And my daughter is in Vegas. She'll be 24 and they're just doing great. But like they were 3 and 5. I did not know them. They did not know me. They just thought of me as like this sister type who would go in and out and make them cry. And that didn't saw me even, you know, nothing saw me. My parents, my whole family begging me to get help. And I'd go to treatment. I'd leave because I thought that was the magical cure. I did not want this God thing. You could not. No, I'm not doing it. I tried. It didn't work. Until I went to jail in 2016. And like, jail's jail for some people. But I could be homeless on the street, eating out of garbage cans, and doing all the things for all the drugs. And he put me in like solitary, where it's just me and God. And I had to listen. And I straight up told him, like, I hate you.
Yeah.
And it was my, like, I got honest. I never was honest. My dad would even say, you would lie if telling the truth would help you more and paid you'd still lie. And I'm like, where's the money? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was hurting really bad because now the victim thing didn't work for me anymore.
Yeah. Right.
None of the drugs worked for me anymore. So I didn't know that God was all I needed until he was all I had.
Come on,
girl.
Man. Seriously, and that was where.
Goosebumps. Come on.
That's when everybody had to stop messing with me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm lovable. I'm adorable.
Come on.
It was hard for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Baby's just crying. You know, growing up. Now that they're cool, they're family grouped out. They don't want to go to family group no more. They don't want to see mom sick in the hospital no more. They're sick of it. And so I get to jail, and that's me and God, and. I told him how I felt. I told the creator of the universe, how dare you? And actually my life started to change. And when I got out, I used again, because that's what I do. And that was the last time I used it was November 28th, 2016. My sober date's November 29th.
Come on.
You're the 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not easy, and it's still not easy.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And it is grueling, and there's hills and valleys. And I always forget that the mountaintop is coming when I'm in the valley. Yeah. And I always forget that the valley is going to come when I'm on the mountaintop,
yeah, come on.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's about getting honest. And so I worked a 12-step program, which was so cool because my God has always tried to get a hold of me, right? Like, hey, here I am. Doesn't work, you don't work, blah, 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 blah. So I go through this. He allows me with his grace, carries me the whole time and my family and everyone that loved me just to reintroduce himself to me through this 12-step program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? That to me is mind blowing. Mm-hmm. Like, how you care that much about me? How much grace? You said it. You said it. You grace.
In the womb, predestined in the womb. Held you, like, it's all.
He who started a good work is faithful and just to finish it.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is.
I ran from that. Right? We're all Jonahs at some point. We're all.
Always.
We're all the same way. And that's the thing. And
yes.
You said too, like, you went away and got alone with God, right? And I did too. But isn't that what Jesus himself would do? Right? Yes. That's what Jesus himself would do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He would go alone and get one on one with God.
Yes.
Because you want to get real, that's when you get real.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing else. That's what he wants your attention that way. Yeah. And for me, it was Teen Challenge. For some people, it's jail.
Yeah.
Some people can go to church and grow up and never go through that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But us, we need that, right? You're going to tell me 500 times. I'm still going to listen till probably at least 650.
42. Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, yeah, maybe you were right. Maybe I should pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's that alone time. But again, right? Jesus did what the Father did.
Come on.
Right? I only do what my Father does.
Come
right?
on.
But now in this Sweet. Season, right, I'll pour out my spirit on my sons and daughters, and they'll prophesy. Mm. And that's where we're at. Like, that's what
that's
this
right.
is for.
That's, yeah. right.
That's why we as addicts and what we've gone through, like this Romans 8:28, God works all things to the good. Those women called according to his purpose. We get that mixed up, like, oh, my purpose. I'm gonna do it. Well, his purpose, like it's us and it's not, it's his, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem.
Absolutely,
you know
it is. Because if I could have, I would have.
Anytime.
There you go. Yeah. Like tons. Absolutely. If I could have ripped my chains off, I wouldn't have looked at my mother in the face and been like, I hate you. Give me money. Yeah. Move. I wouldn't have not raised my kids. I wouldn't have showed up. I wouldn't have done the things that I've done if I could break my own chains. That's not how it works.
Which is a good point because people always tend to ask that question like, well, why don't you just stop? Yes. Why are your kids not good enough? Right. Is your family not enough for you? Mm-hmm. So like it brings up that point that like it literally is like, if I could, I would have.
Yeah.
There was no fun about it. There was nothing fun. Right. We weren't out there like living our best life.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, I don't care. I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to
like,
see them. I don't want to.
Right. You're just getting high. Like, yeah. You're getting high because I'm broken. Because I every moment of my day, I think about the crappy dad I was. Right. Like.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna get unhigh to remember that to stop. And there's no off button.
Hard.
And something greater than me is pulling me. If it takes me, these kids were in my womb. They grew in my belly.
Not enough.
And I would tell, I cannot pick them over this drug. There's something to that. Mm. Tell me that's not powerful.
Stronghold.
Yeah.
That's not just because we're monsters. Stronghold. I'm not a monster. I have a super bad problem, you know?
Yeah. You got a super big anointing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come on.
A bigger one.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's good.
That was good.
Man.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I was saying, I'm enjoying this show. I might as well be watching online.
What you thinking too? I was like, okay, they came, they brought Jesus right up in here. Let's go.
Right. It is for me, you know. I always said the same thing, and I've gotten a little bit bolder lately in my own application of my faith and what we're supposed to do with that. But again, if I had a man on the corner who was giving out $100 bills, would you tell people? Like if you went by the road every day and drove by the studio, this dude is there making it rain with $100 bills.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yes.
Right? Would you finally but hey, you tell everybody you knew about the dude getting $100 bills? But we don't tend to do that so much. You know what I mean? And it's an issue. And again, for me, without the Holy Spirit, right? Regardless. Addiction, hype, without Holy Spirit, Christians are missing it, period.
Right.
People, religion, without Holy Spirit. You're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of, again, that's where God's at today and, you know, what he's trying to do because it's that's the power, right? That's the dunamis power of God is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and if we don't have that, then we don't have a chance.
For sure. And I agree with that completely. And I think that people, though, especially like addicts early in recovery, right, they've tried all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually have like this resentment against this God from when they were little, whatever, spiritual prejudice, whatever it is that they need to look inside themselves. Look, what are your belief systems? Mm-hmm. I believe this, this, and this. Well, they're not working, so get rid of them and get new ones.
Yeah.
You know, that do work.
Yeah.
So what I do is I have been working in treatment for pretty much the amount of time I've been sober in all different levels, and I want to show them that mustard seed. So I want to show them how to start seeking. You know what I mean? Because, like, what's the difference between me and God? God didn't wake up thinking he was me. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, that's what I do.
Right, yeah.
And it crashes. Right. So I have to show them and just give them little tools on how to start looking for themselves, you know?
It starts with love, right? Compassion.
Yeah, absolutely.
It starts there.
Yeah.
Right. Again, I think sometimes modern day religion, we'll say, again, tends to shun that again, in that addict and that like, even in some recovery, right? If you go to a recovery place and if you messed up, if you ain't coming back and paying your extra $100, then we ain't dealing with you right now.
Oh,
you know what
sure.
I mean? Give me your insurance and then we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Right? But again, it's that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really compassion and love and understanding.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, like you said, sharing a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
Right, again,
or even not punching someone in the face.
Yeah, like,
you have not to.
That, right?
I don't know if you struggle with that, but I have to. Those are the things I have to work into my life.
I think I've broken past that one a little bit so much.
Okay.
Right? I still have my own.
You
know? And again, even
you can still be recovering in all areas, you know? Right? Yeah. All areas.
That's what I can say. 6 years in, and just this weekend, over a conversation with a gentleman that we share as a common mentor. And over the weekend, God peeled a layer of my onion off. 6 years into my recovery process, God peeled a layer of my onion off on Wednesday to empty buckets, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, again, I didn't understand at the time. I'm like, we shouldn't have empty buckets, for one, right? Again, that was me at the time. I'm like, I don't understand, Holy Spirit. We should all have filled buckets.
You should have been there, girl.
Yeah. But it was right? Where I still had something. And again, 6 years later, God's like, hey, like, you ain't talked to nobody. Like,
yeah,
that's still part of this.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap.
He gave you a testimony for a reason, right?
Holy crap.
Absolutely.
And again, it's another piece, right? Uh-huh. Going back and again, I could piece back. I was premature and the doctors in the hospital told my parents to go ahead and basically make arrangements. Mm. Right. Devil had it in for me from day one, bro. From day one, he didn't want to hear what God was got for me.
Come on.
And he kept it from me a different way. Addiction, depression, pornography, self-worth, value. You know, all of it. I can just go through check the boxes, right?
Right.
Pretty much all of them, right?
Same.
All of them. Everyone.
Yes.
Because, again, it's that now time. And without that, we wouldn't get it. We wouldn't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's all part of the process.
Absolutely.
How did it get to the point of addiction?
So I believe that I was, born with the tendencies of an addict or an alcoholic. And then picking up for the first time fueled that inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never even sat around to wait and be like, oh, this may be a thing. No, it feels good. It's going. I want it more today, tomorrow. School's in the way. This is in the way. This is in the way. And then it progressed, right?
Yeah.
So from drinking Southern Comfort in Old E, 40s of Old E, and you know what I mean?
That's how you know we're old.
Right.
I didn't say Boone's Farm, bro.
Because that's a little bit older than
I really thought I was NWA, but anyway, so then from smoking weed, progression, and these are the ways that my disease or illness or whatever progresses, like choices, like decisions, like, you know what, it's cool to smoke that weed, it's cool to snort that, it's cool to now smoke it, you don't need this house, you're just gonna do a 20. Then you know what? Shoot that. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, you're fine. Just on and on and on and invisible line. I don't know when it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. I don't think people realize that either. Like, I think people that are normal, quote unquote normal, they view it as like, okay, well, why didn't you just stop before you became homeless, before you became a junkie, and you're like, I didn't see it coming.
Right, yeah.
You know, I didn't see that. Like,
absolutely.
I was just like, okay, we're just drinking. Okay. The next natural thing is we're going to smoke weed together.
Yeah.
Okay. The next natural thing is like, so what? We're going to take a Zanny. Like,
right.
It was just, nobody was just like, here, you're going to do this and you're going to start doing this and it's going to, like you said, it's just, and it's like a progression, but you don't even realize that it's like getting out of control. It's like, we're just doing coke on the weekends.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And then you're like, well, so what? It's Sunday is still the weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was Wednesday.
Right.
But like all of a sudden I don't have a shoe on or a house. And I'm like, you know what? Now I can just do whatever I want. This is cool. I don't know. That's just where mine went. Right. You know?
You tell yourself a lie so much, you start to believe it.
Yeah.
And then that becomes true to
you. Absolutely.
And that becomes your story. That's what the bottom line.
Absolutely.
So like it's, you know, it feels so comfortable sometimes to tell ourselves like, you know, oh, you know, no one wants to speak to me. No one wants to talk to me. And you start believing that lie, which becomes a story. And then you start playing the victim card. And then it's, once you start from there, it's just a progressive illness.
And, you live in that denial so you can stay out there.
Yeah.
It's literally like it's impossible to like face the truth. So you just lie and lie and lie.
Impossible. Yeah. And when you like, I know for me, when I would get out of treatment, I would feel so crazy. Like all the stuff. And it, you know what it was? It was fear. It was truth. And that terrified me.
I can't handle that. Right. Your emotions come back. You're like, what is this?
Me going through some of the program I went to, that was some of it too. Like, sure, I had a year in a safe environment, but I was clean and safe and sober. And I graduated. And they're like, congratulations. And I went out the door, but then what?
Then what?
Yeah. And then, well, that's cool because, again, in that safe environment, that nice little bubble world we were living in.
Yeah.
I didn't have the distraction. I didn't have the life stuff, right? It was protected, sheltered.
Yeah.
And again, it's that, what do you do when that comes, right? Again, like there's been, you know, they're stumbling out of the gates, right? Like, cool. So
for sure.
And again, I had at least, I had a safe home to go to in my father's basement. I had a safe dwelling, stable place to go to, you know? And again, getting out, and there's guys that would get out and they don't have that even. But again, there's not the thought process to even get to them to tell them, well, this is how, like, when you get out, like life's going to hit you and it's going to be different. And sometimes they lose that, I think, sometimes in the recovery process.
Yes.
Yeah.
We as addicts, we haven't paid any attention to anything since we started our addiction.
Absolutely.
And for me, again, when did addiction start? I don't know. Video games, pixie sticks, right? Yeah. Anything that made me feel good, right? When did my addiction start? Pixie sticks, right?
Yeah.
Traps, video games, you know, whatever it was.
Are you guys a fan of long-term treatment? For it, against it? What?
Yes and no. I do. Okay. So my story, like I got sober at the SRO, which is on the south side, which my dope boy lived across the street. And I'm telling you how to hold on. And I was in treatment. Like, so treatment, like we just said, treatment's treatment. It's discovery. So when you get outside of that, that's when either you're going to sink or you're going to swim. Like, what are you willing to do? And a lot of people don't know what they're willing to do. I didn't know what I was willing to do, but I knew what I was willing not to do.
Yeah.
So I had to start there. You know what I mean? And I held on and I did what they told me to do. And that's just because maybe I was 37 and no teeth and one pair of shoes and nothing. So I did what they told me to do because they had the stuff that I wanted. And at the time it was teeth and shoes.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
A car.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was other stuff. But
long term, because the attraction is there and it's like, I, you know what, whatever gets you here and whatever.
Absolutely.
Follow that until you need something else. Yeah.
That's broken. But I'm not against long term treatment. I just think that if they're in the long term treatment, like he said, they need to be taught the skills to live outside of this protected environment.
Yeah. Again, long term treatment, again, I think, again, if you're really getting it and if you're really serious about what you're doing, you're always in some type of treatment. Again, my treatment now is different. Right? My treatment now is reading books and having mentors.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And having people I can bounce stuff off of.
Sure.
And being able to pour out. That's still treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And recovery looks different for a lot of people. I mean, some people, again, can't walk into a bar, can't have a glass of wine at dinner, right? Some people can. So again, recovery to me is whatever that is for you to get to tomorrow, to get better, to get sober minded, to get a chance to continue to breathe and try to grab a hold of this thing. That's recovery. And I think sometimes we expect sobriety and recovery just to be like went to treatment, you got clean time, that's it, you're sober.
You're cool.
That's cool. That's great. That's clean time. But again, my brain coming out of rehab, I was still the mental capacity of like a 15-year-old kid in my 30s and 40s.
Absolutely.
I couldn't control money, bank account. And again, getting in relationship and meeting my wife and things like that, we put safeguards in the beginning. And even still, like anytime now, if I go, again, it's all both ways. If I use a credit card, my wife knows about like, boop, money comes out of the bank, boop, pops up because it's a safeguard.
Yeah.
Because even now.
Holding you accountable.
Right. Absolutely. It's all part of it. But recovery is long-term. Recovery is every day, you know, and it's just different stages.
I think families get nervous too. Listen, because a lot of people in this area too, like there's a lot of treatment centers.
Yeah.
And that's what we do is treatment centers. We're not going to turn you away.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're not going to do that, but maybe you need something different. So if that was like a family question, sure. Send them straight up to Texas.
And that's
get it.
Right.
But again, though, sometimes when we do that, we take the problem with us, right?
Oh, like, we always take the problem with us. Cool. Absolutely.
You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? So, again, it's
well, that's what we always say. You know, drugs and alcohol weren't our problem. No, they're our solution to a bigger problem. It's us.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's getting out of the town, getting out of the area. If it's a loved one, it's getting to a different state. You know, cutting off phone connections, you know, relationships.
To, like, sit still for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, remove yourself from everything.
Yeah. If that is
Listen.
Hey. Whatever it takes. Like
God found me in jail, so.
That's
right. True. I can say I found him. He never lost me.
You're right.
Hey, anyway, there you go. There you go. That's the truth. Somebody had asked, and we never got to this question last time, but how would you bring up the topics to your children to try to keep them from going down this road?
Nowadays, you really got to be real.
Yes.
Again, you got to be real. It's just part of what the society we're in. There's no sugarcoat it. And again, we talked a little bit earlier, you know, I still have some medicines that I take for depression and these things at times. And right. And that's different. But for me, it was not knowing the difference between drugs and drugs. Right. So now there was a time in my addiction to where I thought, no, I'm not going to the doctor. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
That was actually part of my recovery, was antidepressants, to be like, oh, wait, to regulate, to be like, wow, it's not that bad. Right. I can face things in my day and manage now. So being real with your kids about drugs and expectations, again, drugs are terrible, right? And again, but it's part of society, it's where we're living in, but you can't ignore it and be like, oh, not in my area or not for our kids. That's never going to happen to little Timmy and Jane. No way, not in our neighborhood, right? Like, it's out there.
Because you're going to be the ones that are selling it.
Yeah, you got to keep it real.
You got to keep it real.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to be aware.
I know I've been speaking to different high schools and their football teams and stuff like that, and I'm going – Saturday to speak to boardmen, and I'm speaking to Strellers next week. And it's like to be able to share with those kids, because I was in this spot, you know what I mean, and let them know where this could take you. Absolutely. And being real about it, you know what I mean? Hey, I'm living proof. I was right where you were at, and this is what it did to me. You know what I mean? And being able to share that with them so they know. Absolutely. I mean, sheltering is not going to do anything, right? Correct. You know what I mean? Because they're eventually going to find out. Mm-hmm. They're eventually, I mean, you look at the online and the you can find out anything online. I can type in a couple words and I can find out anything in any search engine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And just making people aware of that so they're knowledgeable. That way when they do face that, they're able to be like, hey, well, listen, I remember hearing this one time. I probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or even if they get in a situation where they're like, maybe I have a problem.
Yeah.
You know? Because I know for me it started in high school.
Absolutely.
So, but I just didn't even know that, like, I might actually have a problem. It just never occurred to me.
Right.
Even when I checked into rehab, I still didn't buy into the fact that I had a full-on problem. I was just like, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go check in. I'm going to sit down for a minute. Okay? They're going to show me how to use successfully, and I'm going to go home.
Absolutely.
And then I'm going to do it successfully, because I just was like, I guess I just ran out of money. I mean, I don't know. Like,
people
that was
were
the
mad the first time.
Everybody
That's
needs
why I'm
to
like,
chill.
Okay.
Fine.
I was one or two months into High Valley Teen Challenge, and I convinced myself that God had me there to minister to people. I'm just going to be here and be encouraged these guys. Like, I got nothing else. 2 months, I was good.
It's like, it's not funny, but it's funny. Yeah, because you're like so delusional when you
so ridiculous.
And then you like can look back and you're like, wow. And I really thought that.
Yeah.
Like that was like really what I thought was going on.
Plus for like, I know every single person and that probably is watching this even, they have someone they know in their family. So even if they said like, you know, here's what's Aunt Sarah is not calling off Thanksgiving. Here's why. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe you need to learn about that.
Yeah. That's funny. It's not funny.
True.
Again, like you said.
No.
In my family, when we grew up, again, I remember phone conversation was like, hey, do you need us to bring anything for Thanksgiving? And it was spoons.
I'm sorry.
Right? That's true. And like, again, at the time, like, didn't even seem odd to me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right. Didn't even seem odd. Didn't even spoons. Oh, okay. Grab the spoons.
All right. Yeah.
Here you go, Come on, man. Like,
now in recovery, it's forks.
Like, wow.
I'm chubby. I can't
eat. Julia asks, what gives you gratitude and fulfillment today?
Man, air, you know what I mean? Again, be this, right?
Right.
Every opportunity that God gives me throughout my day to be like, look what God has done.
Yeah.
Right. And impact lives. I said, I like to say that I feel in my spirit and what God has done, I want to leave a legacy behind again, because if not, if I don't do something to make a change, mm-hmm. even if it's just one person, then again, it could be just for me, but to have the opportunity to have a legacy, if not, mom died in vain.
Yes. Mm.
right?
Yes.
My mom died in vain. If I don't do anything with it,
yeah.
Sure, that's right. It broke off generational in my family. Generational curses and change. Sure, yes, it did. No. That's not enough.
Yes.
That's not enough. Yeah. There's a whole generation. There's a whole, you know what I mean, group of guys our age that are still out there struggling. There's a whole group of kids that don't have their parents because of the last round of opiate fentanyl overdoses that we had in the area. You know, yeah. they need this. They need to hear us.
That's right. For me, it's just purpose going to help addicts and alcoholics and not even helping them. Like here, like in the sense of the word is like, oh, here's a house. No, sitting there. You know what I mean?
Here's
a cigarette.
Here's an ear.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk to me, laughing, you know, right. Like we were laughing because if we don't laugh, we cry. And we don't have to cry today because we don't have to live like that today.
Yeah.
So
especially when they're fresh in it. Like,
yeah,
they're
man.
Like, wow, that felt good to laugh. Yeah. Like I haven't laughed in 10 years.
Smile, right?
Yeah, you're
the birds chirping.
You're like, wow, yeah.
Yeah, man, we take them for a drive. I sing. I act crazy. We dance.
Dance party in the car.
That's right.
My concert.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that brings me joy.
What's up, Mike Clark? Mike, what's up? Josh Cribble. Wanda Klein, my sister, Chelsea. Listen, my sister asked a question. She's like, what'd she say? What happens when no one answers your phone call?
Call again. Call someone else.
Or sit down there and maybe reach out to someone who always answers.
Right? That's right? What I say. Pray?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's always going to be some times when you don't get an answer.
Yeah. Right. There's going to be a time when it's just, like I said, when it's just you and God, and it's all you got.
Yeah.
There ain't no...
Absolutely.
That is so true.
So remember the time when I was sitting in prison. No one would answer my phone call. Not one person. Mm. But that's whenever God sat me down and reached out to me. You know what I mean? That's when I was able to talk to him and actually shut up and listen for once.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, that was big.
That's again, what other advice do you want? Who else do you want to talk to?
Yeah.
The one who created you, right? The one who created you. That's the point.
Talk to God, sis.
Yeah.
Also,
talk to God or have other people to reach out to, you know? Yeah. If you call the same person 3-4 times and they don't answer, odds are they ain't going to answer for you. So you need to, like, find someone else.
Nowadays, too, social media and everything else, again,
There's helplines.
Yeah. Again, there's always somebody. You can go to the top of your phone. You always know somebody at the top of your messenger where you put a green dot on them.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, always call them on there. Yeah.
I equated to back, like, because this is how I can understand things. Like, if my dope boy didn't answer the phone, I just gave up and went home. No. Absolutely not.
I'm going to blow up his phone. I'm going to go to the
not
house.
Not a shot.
Him.
Right. You're like, matter of fact, I'm coming to your house.
Yeah. I'm grandma's house at Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Relentless, right?
Relentless.
Same, it's got to be that same in half of your life.
Yeah.
Same relentless.
You always found a way to get high. So it's like, you can find a way to recover. You can find a way. Yeah. Somebody said, is it a struggle every day to stay sober?
No. Not every day, not every moment. Again, going with the word and stuff, you know, how do we renew our spirits, you know, and renew our mind is with the word of God and Holy Spirit and all that. So where if you get into that word enough in the morning and throughout the day, or if you're struggling, if you get that word, it's going to reveal on your heart and it's going to encourage you. It's going to like break that. Right. But at the same time, it's part of the whole process.
Yeah. And it's like we say, it's a mind, body, spirit. Like every day, what are you doing for your mind today? What are you doing for your body today? What are you doing for your spirit today? And if you don't work on all three of those consistently on a daily basis, this is a daily maintenance program. If you do not work on this every day, I promise you a relapse or a slip is in your future.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, it is an every day. I mean, because obviously, if I don't work on it today, in my spirit or something's going to be off, and I'm going to start acting different, and tomorrow's going to be worse, and it's going to be worse and worse. Yeah. And like you say, I mean, if you get the word every day, and if you do that every day, you don't have a problem.
Right.
You won't.
Yeah.
Right. But when you don't.
And it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In 5 years sober, right? I worked the steps. The obsession of my mind was removed. So not everywhere I saw was, hey, I'm Miss Heroin. Hey, la, 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 I'm Miss Crack. La, la, la. But now it's like, oh, okay. So the good alcoholic that I am, when it works, I stop doing it and I have to fall straight on my face. But doesn't mean pick up today. It means make really crappy choices. It means hurt someone's entire feelings that I love with all of my heart, you know. And that's the pain that reminds me, oh, can't do this on my own.
Right.
I'm not God. I need
absolutely
his help.
Not.
It's never, there's always an onion layer. There's always a progression. There's always
absolutely
another step. Until the day, like you said, until the day we check out and we get there, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. we're going to keep. And again, but that's the point of the relationship with the father, right? It's anytime, sure, fought out, get back up. It's not, like you said, clean time recovery. I understand. And that's very important. But for me, it's never been a part of like my mindset,
yeah,
right? Because again, I'm going to fall short every day in some aspect of my life.
Right.
But Lord, again, it's the heart of David, right? At the end of the day, it's the heart of David. And again, I think we get so caught up with, oh, I failed. Yeah, no, you're going to, right?
Yeah.
So what?
For sure.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that. You probably shouldn't have done it the last three times you did it. Okay, but now it's been 2 weeks. Now we really, you're right, okay, stop. You know what I mean? But you have to have that self-discipline to even if, know that it, don't set it to fail. Like, they'll be like, I'm never going to.
It's a red flag right there.
Just try to be cool today. Like, try, like, again, that's what I say, just for today, just for the moment.
Right.
But it's that same mindset. Like, you're going to struggle in life, regardless whether it's addiction, depression, fear, anxiety.
Yes.
We are going to deal with that stuff throughout our lives. Victory after victory that we come through, it's still going to be on the other side. 9 times out of 10, that's the progression of learning and how we learn and how we grow closer to God.
Right. We didn't give out the number.
Oh, wow. Well, you got about 8 minutes to call in. 330-595-1600. If you have any questions regarding.
Come on the air live.
Yeah, come on. Yes. Give us a question. Talk to us. Shout us out.
Sorry.
330-595-1600.
Somebody said, why must I have this disease?
Why not you?
Yeah.
Right.
Because you have a gift inside of you.
Yeah.
And you have a testimony inside of you. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody that's going to come along in your life that you're going to be able to speak out to on the other side of it that can relate to you and you alone.
Yeah.
That's why you have a job, you have a purpose, you have a destiny, you have a testimony.
That's right.
Because without the testimony, it's for nothing.
That's right. Yeah.
That's why God has you where he has you for that purpose.
That's
it's what you do with it now. Do you accept the fact that God has you there for good, or do you stay there and just be miserable for the bad end of it?
Right.
Right. But that's why, because you have a testimony.
The cool thing about it too is like, if you have the disease of addiction, right, as long as you're doing the maintenance and stuff, you actually come out better than if you never had it before in your life.
Yeah.
But
absolutely,
there's no other disease that it works like that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's just not.
Right.
So, like, then I'm like, this is like, you know, I say this all the time, and people can whatever, but I'm always like, I feel like addicts are like God's chosen people.
So do I.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He was like, I'm going to give you this, and like, y'all are going to have to go through the depths. I mean, y'all is going to have to get dirty.
Yeah.
You hear me? Roll around. I'm still going to come grab you. I'm still going to come get you.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's true. I made some mistakes in my life, but it's also true. My biggest mistake is turning my biggest miracle.
Right?
So like it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was an addict. Yeah. It's true. I did a lot of things in my life I shouldn't have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I did it, but I'm not it.
And he said,
that's
right.
Not what I, that's right. It's not who I, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
It's what I did.
It's what I did. Yeah.
And who gets to live two lifetimes
in one life?
I know what I mean. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen,
he said, here's the mountain. It's yours. Show everyone it can be moved.
That's right.
Come on.
There you go.
Goosebumps.
That's so good.
Good question.
So good.
We love you. Keep going. Yeah.
What are the best ways to help addicts recover, especially those that are close to you, if you're not in recovery?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, right? If you're their co-laboring person in their addiction, right, if you're there with them, then you have to separate. If you are on the opposite side and you're close enough to where you can actually reach them, then you have to do that. So I guess that really depends on where that person is in your life and how you can relate to them and if it's affecting you in your own sobriety or not. Because again, if it's at both, like you got to cut and you got to push help, and you can't let them drain and suck off of you and pull you down.
Mm-hmm. Right. So like the thing about addicts is we want everything yesterday.
Yeah.
And like,
and
right
we
now,
think we deserve it.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We roll the red carpet out.
But I'm like, I just did 12 days in treatment. Everybody better give me money, give me a car.
Well,
I need
this.
Yeah.
You work on
where's my house? Like,
You can see my pupils. What do you mean? I'm good.
Look at me. You're like, my hair has been washed. Okay.
Right. But I think the thing is that seed planters are the most important. You don't get the instant gratification.
Yeah.
You might never see it, but it's how you walk. Like, do you do what you say you're going to do? are you showing, like, the best apology to me is change behavior.
There you go.
Don't say it. Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Yeah. Right. Especially, you know? Again, if that person's still lost and out there and you're trying to help them, again, you got to show them love. You know what I mean?
Boundaries.
Sometimes set a distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, Harlan at them and tell them all the stuff they done wrong. They know. They know. Yeah, yeah.
That ain't going nowhere.
That record plays in their head every moment of the day. You don't have to remind them, please, you're not helping.
Yeah. I always say that too. Like, you don't want to interfere with God's consequences. So, like, let them get their consequences, you know, just let them get their consequences. Yeah. Stop trying to, like, shelter them from consequences and stuff, because that doesn't work. You know, most of us stay out there for as long as we can. If we're being sheltered from consequences, we could stay out there longer.
For sure.
I always ask this question. If you could change it and go back and you could not be an addict, would you choose to do that? Or would you choose to still be an addict?
Wow.
It's always a million-dollar question. Right. Bringing it out.
I can look at it from two sides. I can look at it as a child, right? When I kind of can look back as a child in church, when I felt like what God put all my life. If I'd have paid attention then and followed that calling, I probably wouldn't have had to go through the addiction. But since I didn't follow through what God had for me, and I chose to, again, run from the calling on my life that I knew I've had at a young age, I had to go to my addiction to get here. But either way, God had me right here regardless, right? Yeah. Kind of at this. Yeah. So again, like, would I choose one or the other? I don't know, right? Because if I choose not the addiction, then I don't have the powerful testimony that I have. But if I choose the other way, then maybe I have a different relationship with my family and stuff. But again, that was God's hand for me is my answer. That's my answer. God knew what I needed when I needed it, and he gave it to me how I needed it. At 8:28, it all works to the good.
Yeah.
So again, would I have chose to be an addict to hurt my family and do all that stuff on purpose? No. But again, without that, I wouldn't be here today with a cool story to tell what God has repaired and fixed and blessed with.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much the same. The only way I would say no to go back is that I would not have hurt my own kids. Right. You know what I mean? Because that's something that, like, I don't dwell on it because it'll take me on the floor. But they're precious to me.
Definitely. So
that's my regret in life, is that.
And that's a big driving force for me too, is again, my daughters.
Yeah.
Now, again, there was a time that they were ashamed that I remember, like, if somebody asked, where's your dad? Oh, he's in a rehab for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like, Dad, are you on TV again? God, what, you're on the radio today? God, stop, man. Like, please. Right? Like, but again, it's two extremes. You know what I mean? That's the good stuff. Like, that's for what people need.
Yeah.
That again, my kids hated me for a time, but they love me now through the progression and through the change and ups and downs and all of it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, as addicts, it's like, you know, God took us a long way, right? Like, it took us the long way so we could pick up stuff along the way to share to people. You know what I mean? And that's, you never know, just by somebody hearing today in the show, who might have helped. I mean, honestly, hearing your guys' stories helped me today. Help, you know what I mean, burn my soul, even my fire, you get it lit more. So it's like, you don't know who you're helping. You know what I mean? And the reason why, we took you the long way so you could pick up that stuff along the way to share with other people. Okay. So that's the way I look at it. And I would never live in regret. And I was talking about this with my twin brother. It was like, I would not change one thing that's happened in my life. Yeah, I do regret some things.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But like, I wouldn't change one thing because that's what God made me today.
Amen.
Right.
Yes. So. Same.
Yeah. And look how wonderful your life is. Wow. You have this wonderful wife.
Yeah.
I want to say that too, real quick, too. I have a wonderful wife. I don't know if I gave her a shout
out. Yeah, give her a shout out.
Shout out.
Like this, because I get.
Yes.
But again, she came into my life at a certain crucial time. And again, she's seen something in me that I didn't. And again, has actually pulled out a lot of the best in me now. Mm. Again, with God is first. And again, the people around me, but my wife has been a crucial piece of pushing me to be better than I knew that I could be.
Yeah.
Awesome. So listen, guys, we have recovery night next Friday night, the 13th.
Well, this Friday.
Next Friday.
Oh, next Friday.
Next Friday. So next Friday, the 13th at 7 o'clock, 7580 Glenwood Avenue, Bridge of Hope Church. There's recovery night. This Sunday, if you guys are
this
looking for...
This Sunday? Guess what's going on this Sunday at Bridge of Hope Church?
What?
Y'all want to know?
Yes, tell us.
My husband's preaching.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Man, yeah. Preaching.
1030 7580 Glenwood Avenue, Bridge Hope Church.
They're going to make a big announcement, so I'll just wait.
Who is?
At the church. They're going to like make a big announcement about you and stuff, so
okay.
I won't do it right here. I'll just say you're going to be preaching.
Yeah.
So y'all should come. It's probably going to be a good time, don't you think?
It's going to be a great time. I just hope I can get out the word that God gave me and the way he gave it to me so y'all can hear it, but.
Well, you're going to be real hype.
Listen, thank you guys. Thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it. Thank you for coming in. Absolutely. That's all the time we have. Yeah. Guys, tune in 2 weeks. We will have two more guests on to share their experience, sharing their hope. And guys, we do recover.
Hey.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.